Good morning, Living Hope.
Good morning.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, yesterday, I know some of you were there with me. You actually got to see how does a message get put. I've been thinking about it all week. And then there I was at Kingdom to the Counties. And I'm sitting with beautiful mountains, the White Mountains, a beautiful river running right there, and I get to bask in worship, and the Lord just starts downloading. And I noticed some things, that because we're along the river, there were trees that were by themselves, and those trees had tipped or fallen into the river. And yet there were trees that were near those that were clumped together, and they were still standing strong. When I drove into the parking lot, there were two trees in the middle. They looked like they were dead. You remember the ones in the parking lot? They like only had a few leaves on them. I'm thinking, well, those look like they should be winter trees, you know? And yet, I turn and look on the side of the mountain, and the trees are rich and green and beautiful. You could smell the river. You could smell the trees. And as you praised and you worshiped, you could feel the sun. It was an amazing time. So the Lord told me we need to prepare because it's now. It's like right now. You will see things changing over the next 2 weeks to 3 weeks that you never thought. And I've told you this, right? Every time I've sat here and said, watch out for this week, watch out for this month, all these things start shifting and changing. It's not me. I'm just revealing to you what the Lord's put on my heart. And so the Lord is talking to me that you need to have deeper roots for what's coming in the next couple of weeks. Okay? So this past week, we've been hearing all about these great earthquakes all around the world. Right? Jeannie just mentioned. And most of us go, I didn't know there was an earthquake. I didn't know there was an earthquake there. I didn't know there was an earthquake. And we're not talking like one or two. We're talking like half a dozen earthquakes. 7.1, 7.8 magnitudes, buildings, Venezuela, right? New Guinea, all of these places. And where's the news reporting it? You don't even hear about it. I believe there is a great shaking that's on the horizon. And now I tell you that so that you can be prepared. Not that you'll be in fear, but you'll know, oh, it's coming, okay. And you will be like a watchman looking for it. So that when it happens, you're not going to be surprised by it. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's not just physical events, though, but also political and economic structures are going to be shaken. Things that you thought were stable, you're going to realize they're not. And then you're going to start to realize that over our whole lifetime, we have been lied to. And I'm not talking about just being lied to from government or media, but we've been lied to from the pulpit. And it's going to be a great shaking. To keep you in fear, there are rumors of great global events. How do I say it? There are going to be more plandemics. You're going to hear of different types of diseases and other things, and they're not true. They're not true. And I know that there's probably going to be some people online, they're going to be, oh, you don't know that. You don't. Hey, listen, the name of Jesus is above all pandemics. Okay? The name of Jesus is above all sickness. If I can't give you the name of Jesus, I have nothing else to give you. But I will tell you that media and the world are using everything they can to put fear back in you because they know that they can control people that are afraid. If you're afraid, I can manipulate you. I can make you do things you don't want to do. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's the same setup as COVID-19, because it's not, but it runs those same lines. It was a virus they were just talking about. What was it? The H8? Hantavirus. Yeah, did you hear how big? Oh, I'll tell you, it's coming. Where did that go? Found out it didn't work. Nobody was buying it. Nobody was afraid. But I tell you that there are things that are coming that we kind of lean on as foundations, and you're going to find that they shake. Okay? Structures are becoming volatile. Things that we held on to are crumbling. Scripture tells us that God often warns before he acts and before the enemy attacks. And many times, spiritual realities are revealed through physical happenings that serve as prophetic signs and supernatural reflections of what is taking place on the prophetic timeline of God. And I've said this to you over and over and over again since I've been standing in a pulpit. Everything that we see in the natural first took place in the spiritual. That's why when we try to take care of things in the natural, it doesn't always get taken care of, because we're not taking care of it at the root. The root is a spiritual battle. God is asking the bride of Christ to take root, take deeper root. For false foundations are cracking, shifting, and collapsing. So why are roots important? Roots not only determine fruits, but roots will determine stability. We read a lot in Scripture that talks about that the roots go deep and the fruit of repentance and the fruit of, we understand that, but it also brings stability. And how many of you know that we need stability right now? In Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, it declares this: "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes." Will not fear when the heat comes. Oh, you'll get it. That was a good place, like, for an amen, right? So let's rewind. "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Okay? So your fruit is not determined by the natural eye. So this morning I want to share with you and prepare you to take deeper roots. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I ask that I would be just a vessel, that you would speak to me those things that you would have your people hear. Lord, we don't want more information, but we need revelation, because it's through revelation that there's transformation. And we thank you this morning in Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and amen. So you can see how I was, you know, sitting by the river, having a wonderful time at the outreach event, and then just looking at the wonderful handiwork of God. And so I started to think to myself, roots, roots, roots. I mean, we really don't think about roots because you don't see them. You don't see them. So roots are not just an underground anchor. Roots function as a vital life support and digestive system for trees. I just, when I got home after the event, I started doing all this reading. I couldn't put it all in here, but I was amazed at all the things that I did not know about trees and roots. I got an education. It was great. But it's not for right now. Just let you know that there's more. Roots go beyond the drip line. You know what the drip line is? You have the leaves, and then that's the drip line. So usually they say that. So the roots go beyond that. Roots are like glue and create stability against the storms of life. So in natural, shallow roots give way to catastrophic mudslides and destructive rock falls. But in the spiritual, our roots can crumble under pain, pressure, or persecution. And then we're uprooted and we're carried away by the wind. You see, but deep roots grip the bedrock of Christ. Deep roots. I thought of Proverbs 12, verse 3, where it says, doesn't say anything, does it? Oh, there we go. Kind of left me in the dark. No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. The root of the righteous will never be moved. I believe the Spirit is calling his remnant in this hour to go deeper than ever before. You see, some of us believe that, well, I'm in the Word and it's good, but I'm telling you, God wants you to go deeper. Well, you know, I read a little devotional every day before I go to work. That's good. God wants you to go deeper. God wants your roots to go deeper so that you will withstand the storms that's coming, the catastrophes that are coming, the foundations that we believed which are crumbling. Our spiritual roots must grip the bedrock of Christ. You cannot dabble with your faith and think that you will be sustained when the storm comes. You got to visualize your roots going deeper. Don't just skim the Bible. Don't just skim a verse. What does it mean? Take it back to the original language. You could do that. You can, what does that connect to? How do I interpret that? How do I apply that to my life? Because like I used to read the Bible and I would just read and go, okay, I read. But I didn't get changed. I just checked it off my list that I read. But then I started saying, before I ever opened up my Bible, I said, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to what I need to see in this scripture that I'm going to read today. What is it that you want me to glean from this so that my roots would go deeper? How many of you know that a lot of people in life want to shake your tree? Keep in mind, depth determines height. You want to be at a higher place? Then dig those roots deeper. We must go deeper and not just more into ministry activities. I'm not talking about that or even striving in greater performance. I am not talking about either of those two. See, God is calling us to a greater and deeper intimacy with Him. God is desiring a deeper intimacy with you. Not with Pastor, with you. A greater dependence, trust, and obedience in Him. And we say, oh, I trust you, God. And then when He asks you to do something, you go, well, I don't know if I was going to do that. A greater dependence. Until the bill comes in that you weren't expecting, and then worry sets in. You see, when those things shake your boat, they used to shake me to the core. It would tick me off. Because I'll tell you, the biggest thing that Jeannie and I argued about, a little bit about disciplining our kids. Because we came from two different styles of discipline. We won't go through that. But our biggest thing that we fought over was money. Was money. We fought about money. Well, don't you trust God? Well, don't you stop spending? It was always about money. God is looking for a greater dependence on him. Now, I'm not saying be foolish with what God gives you. When we talked about the talents and being a good steward, it's not that. Not being foolish and then thinking God will just kind of bail you out. But we need to be dependent on the things of God. We need to trust God. There are people that trust media more than God and wonder why their life is all in a shamble or why they're always like, panic mode. And we need to be obedient. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You know that just right there. Rooted and built up in him. Rooted. All these people that are running from here and running to there and running to this new thing and that new thing. Are you rooted? Built up in him. Established in your faith. Do you only believe when things are going good? Or do you believe because that's what his word says? Amen? We're all familiar with the parable of the sower in Mark 4. So if you want to open up your Bibles, it's just so funny. Like, here we, you know, Jeannie started this morning and she starts talking about Mark chapter 4. And then Alec goes around and goes, did Jeannie know what your message was about? I said, no, she was in bed when I write my message. So she has no idea what my message is about. So let's read this together, starting in verse 15. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enters in and choke the word and proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, I throw that in there because we could talk about where the seed is. But what I want you to glean from this is that it's talking about your root. In other words, the sower sows the seed. The seed is the word of God. And depending on what kind of heart that seed falls into will determine the end outcome. And it tells you, there's some that's just down there, the birds eat it, then there's some that falls on rocky ground, and, you know, it burns up in the sun, then we got the thorns, you know, the cares of the world, things that are drawing our attention. All of those are unfruitful. But why? Why? Because there's no root. There's no root. And yet it says, the seed that was sown in the good soil, those roots went deep and produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. How would you like your life to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold? Now, I want to tell you, it's not times 30, times 60, times 100. It's a whole different way of doing math. It's a lot more than what you think. But we can become a blessing. We can be blessed if our roots are in good soil. And they run deep. You see, some of us know about this, know about Jesus. You just don't know Jesus. Well, I take that personal. Good, then do something about it. Get in a relationship with him. And I'm not talking about a superficial one. I'm talking about one that it's just intimate. You won't be disappointed. Your roots will determine your fruits. Your roots will determine your stability. So I started thinking. Another aspect of roots is that many of the roots intertwine, giving additional support to adjacent trees. Okay? Now, if you don't know what that's called, it's called natural grafting. That's a real term. And it means that the roots, as they grow, intertwine with the trees around them, and it's almost as if they're like holding hands, holding on to each other. I believe that the Lord is calling us to natural grafting with each other. I believe that God is calling the ecclesia, the bride of Christ, to rise up and natural graft. Because the Word of God says that God will move in the unity of His people. So when there's no unity or there's a lack of unity, unity is something you need to pursue, God can't move. God won't move. Why do we need to be naturally grafted with each other? So that we can share vital nutrients. To intertwine our lives by giving additional support to each other. To each other. You strengthen me. You bless me. Just being here. For some of you who ask for my time. And I just want to let you know that if you'd like some time with me, you've got to ask. Because I won't ask you. Because if I ask anybody to get together, they will just because the pastor asked. Do you understand? Well, he asked me. I better say yes. But if you want time with me, I'll spend time with you.
Well, you just seem so busy.
Yep, because I choose to be. That's my choice. But I will always carve out time for those who ask it. Amen? So, ask. So I started thinking about, like, what are some of my favorite trees? I remember a little kid building forts in the trees, and I remember climbing trees and how high could you go up. I remember falling out of trees. And I started thinking about what some of my favorite trees. I have to tell you that my favorite time of the year is the fall. There's just something about the colors. You know, when I was flying airplanes, I used to love going in the fall because when you look out the window, it looked like it was a big giant bowl of fruity pebbles. Yeah, and it's an amazing thing to just see. But I started to think about, like, what are some impressive trees? And the first thing that came to my mind was the giant sequoia trees, right? You know, the ones where they even cut like a road through them, you know, those big giant trees. And so those trees have roots that grow longer than 100 feet in search of water and support. Water and support. Water and support. Sustenance and help. Living water and support. Hundreds of feet, those roots go out for water and support. So let me ask you a question. Could our roots be shallow and withered? I mean, are our lives parched, dry, and dying because our roots are not tapping deeper into spiritual water? I mean, listen, I'm out working, it's hot, a little sip of water. Okay, it's good. But you know what I really like is a nice giant bottle of water that the center is frozen with ice so it stays cold. And that bottle has all that water on the outside just dripping down. That's how we should be about spiritual water. You see, if we're not like that for spiritual things, then what ends up happening is we get dry. You know what's amazing to me? We take care of our physical body to eat, right? Some of us exercise on a regular basis because we want to take care of the physical. We go and we learn so we can take care of our thinking, our soul, I guess, and you will, our mind and emotions kind of thing. But how many of us are spiritually anorexic? We're trying to have a spiritual relationship, but we're not feeding our spirit. We're not digging our roots deeper, and that's why we're struggling. It's not your boss. It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your past. It's your relationship with Christ that's dried up. And when you get filled with the Spirit of God and that's pouring into you, do you know how easy it is to pour out and tell other people about Jesus? Because you're bubbling over. You got so much things going on. It's like, woo! Let me tell you about Jesus. I was going to give a testimony. I'll probably save it next week. But the Lord saved me like from 3 accidents. And I don't even know how they were there. How it, like all of a sudden, boom, it was gone. Like it was there and then it was gone. And then I'm backing out of my driveway. And my son's working on his car. And so I'm backing up, I'm backing up, I'm backing up. And the Lord says, you need to tell him that you love him. So I give him that kind of look, backing out of my driveway. He's right there, and I go, and the window goes down, and I go, just want to let you know, Dad loves you. And he goes, I'm glad you stopped. And I go, what do you mean? The guy behind you pulled in behind your car just as you were backing up, and if you didn't stop, you would have hit him. I was this close to the car behind me. They pulled in right behind me as I was going back so they could drop off some people at the house across the street. And here's the Lord just saying, I want you to tell your son that he loves you. He needs to hear that. Amen. Okay. So are our lives parched, dry, and dying because our roots are not tapping into deeper spiritual water? And I want you, it's a personal assessment. You know whether you're dry or not, or you know when you're bubbling over. How about this one? Do you know that most people feel like they're alone? You can have over 1,000 friends on Facebook and still feel alone. I see it all the time. People complaining about, oh, you know, they're going here and they're going there and they're traveling here and they're traveling there. And here I am just stuck here. Their Facebook says they have over 1,000 friends and yet they say that they're alone. Do we feel a lack of support even here because we've chosen not to intertwine our lives with other believers? It blesses my heart when I hear, oh, so-and-so invited me over to dinner to their house. So-and-so, we went for a walk. We took a bike ride. So-and-so, we went to go visit somebody. These are all things happening here. That blesses me. Why? Because your roots are intertwining. You're supporting each other. When you have sorrow, it's cut in half when you share it. When you have joy, it's multiplied by 2. Because your roots are intertwined. Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Why is that important? Oh, I could just watch it on TV. And I'm not talking about the people watching all the way across the country. Please, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are here. Why is that important? Because if you don't intertwine your roots with other fellow believers, you're going to be like that tree by itself on the side of the river. And when the storms come, it just blows over and falls into the river because there's nothing supporting it. It has roots. But you know what? The storms wash away the dirt that holds the roots. But when your roots are intertwined with each other, you support each other. You help each other. You take this journey called life together. It says, so not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day. Is it up there? You know your Bible has as a capital day? Because it's talking about the day of the Lord. You think the day of the Lord is drawing near? Absolutely. These giant sequoia trees wrap around the roots of other neighboring trees until all the trees in the forest are intertwined. Now, here's the craziest thing. The sequoia tree doesn't have really deep roots, but their roots go so far out and they intertwine with other trees, that's where the strength comes. Our strength comes when we walk together. So it's a crucial part of their survival because for being the largest trees on earth, they have the shallowest root system. And you wouldn't think that. Do you know anybody that is shallow? It's a spiritual problem. If the largest trees in the world need to support each other, what about us? God wants our lives to be intertwined, supporting each other, encouraging each other, and stirring up one another to love and good works. Did you know that these giant trees in their support system can easily be damaged, preventing the trees from getting all the water they need? This damage can occur as simple as people walking on exposed roots. That, I thought, was interesting. I'm thinking these giant trees. But if we have people that are walking on the roots, it can damage the ability of the roots to get water, preventing the trees from getting all the water it needs. This damage can occur simply just as them walking on exposed roots. Have you ever had people walking on you? Do you understand that when you expose yourself and you're there, there are some people that take advantage of that. And simply them walking all over you, you can become vulnerable. You can become bitter. You can become angry. All of those because somebody's walking. You could take it out on other people, and they didn't do it. But because somebody else walked on you. Just a thought. So why am I talking about roots? Because we must choose to grow our roots deep. Why, you ask? Lord, these people you gave me. So why am I talking about roots? Because we must choose to grow our roots deep. Why, you ask? Because false foundations are being shifted and shaken right now. Things that you were standing on, you are going to find are going to be shifting and shaking, cracking and crumbling. And God does not want you to walk in fear. He wants your roots to be deep so that those things don't change you. To choose to grow your roots into a bedrock of Christ will not happen where everybody sees it. It doesn't happen while you're here with all of us together. Our roots will grow in dark, hidden places, in our time alone with God, in places where no one else will see. For the growth of your roots is a sacred and holy work. Ooh, didn't think about it that way, did you? Your roots growing is a sacred and holy work between you and God alone. It's praying when the Lord stirs your spirit, even if that stirring is in the wee hours of the morning, 3 o'clock. Bing! Pray for them. Oh, Lord, could I just pray for them while I'm laying prone in my bed? No, he says, get up, go to the living room, and pray for them. And I get up, and I go to the living room and pray for you as Jeannie, who was just praying, turns around and walks by me in the hallway, gives me a little smooch. She goes to bed and I'm praying for you. And I know she just left praying for you when it's not convenient. It's fasting and praying when the flesh is crying out against it. It's in hidden acts of surrender and obedience to the Lord. Hidden acts of surrender and obedience draw your roots and grow your roots deeper. Surrender and obedience in times of financial pressure. Surrender and obedience in times of painful relationship pruning. Surrender and obedience in unexpected health issues and battles. Surrender and obedience when the spirit of death tries to rise and claim your life and destiny. Surrender and obedience in times of delayed promises and vision. Surrender and obedience when you are in the wilderness and God strategically moving to build and establish lordship in our lives at the deepest levels within us. You're the ecclesia. You're the remnant. Rise up. The lordship of Christ is first nurtured in the private surrender before it is ever revealed in the pulpits and public platforms. What you do in private is more important. As we finish up here, remember, before God can truly entrust you with the great weight, influence, and responsibility of kingship, he must first develop roots that can carry the weight of kingdom produce. Going deeper will come at a great cost, but be of courage. Be of good courage. The greater shaking that is coming is not only designed to expose what is weak, it's also designed to reveal what is truly and deeply rooted. Deeper roots that are firmly planted on the bedrock of Christ will remain standing amid the shaking. Take root. Take deeper root. Establish a strong foundation by deepening your connection and commitment. Engage in God's word and his teachings, which are steadfast and reliable, to ensure you are built up an unshakable foundation. Fortify your covenant relationships with God, as the future will challenge every structure and evaluate the integrity and significance of all endeavors and intentions. Take root. Take deeper root. Like a tree, let our roots grow deep, our spirit reach high, and our reflection remain calm. Let us be rooted in faith and growing in grace. The hour is critical. The call is not for spectators, but for deeply rooted sons and daughters who cannot be moved when everything around them is shaking. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, challenge us to desire deeper roots. Roots that will produce abundant fruit. Roots that will bring stability to our lives even during great storms. Let our roots grip the bedrock of Christ. Lord, we embrace your word that says the roots of the righteous will never be moved. Lord, we sense you are calling us to a greater and deeper intimacy with you. A greater dependence, trust, and obedience to you. Lord, your word encourages us to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Holy Spirit, help us to understand the purpose of our lives being intertwined, supporting each other, encouraging each other, and stirring up one another to love and good works. The present is uncertain. Yet you have commanded us to not walk in fear, even when the false foundations are being shifted and shaken. Holy Spirit, as we walk in obedience, remind us that before God can truly entrust us with the great weight, influence, and responsibility of kingship, we must first develop deep roots that can carry the weight of kingdom produce. The hour is critical and calls not for spectators, but for deeply rooted sons and daughters who walk in their God-given authority with a demonstration that they cannot be moved when everything around them is shaking. Holy Spirit, challenge us to desire deeper roots. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just want you to share with you. You will make it and you will walk through these storms that are coming. But you must align yourself with the Word of God. You must stand on His foundation and you must desire that your roots will go deep, deep into the bedrock of Christ. Because then, and only then, you will walk with no fear. You will walk in the authority that God has given you. Amen. I love you. God loves you. God bless you and shalom.